This is your Polycast for Tuesday, August 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, more meetings, but still no deal on a special session. Republicans face off in the 2nd District, and Phyllis Kahn faces two DFL challengers. Governor Mark Dayton and House Speaker Kurt Dowd toured the state security hospital in St. Peter yesterday, but they didn't say whether they had reached any agreements on a special legislative session. The governor wants upgrades for the St. Peter facility included in a bonding bill if there is a special session. After a two-week pause for national political conventions, Dayton said a decision is needed soon.
I think after August 16th, it gets to be extremely problematic. You got the state fair, you got Labor Day, you got the campaign season, which is really already underway. So it's now time to do it or decide that we can't do it.
Funding for the Southwest Light Rail Line, which House Republicans oppose, remains a big sticking point. Dayton said not approving funding for the project would be a setback. There's a Republican divide in the race for Minnesota's 2nd congressional district. The party has endorsed one candidate while the retiring Republican incumbent is backing someone else. A week from today, primary voters will decide who among a field of 4 Republicans moves on to a fall election expected to be highly competitive. Brian Baxt has the story.
Inside the campaign headquarters for Jason Lewis, a half dozen volunteers sit in front of laptop computers with lists of volunteers to remind about the looming election. They've contacted a few thousand people in a week's time, and they'll aim to reach thousands more before primary day.
Happy to hear it. Yeah, there's a primary battle, and we just want to make
They've contacted a few thousand people in a week's time, and they'll aim to reach thousands more before primary day. Lewis keeps tabs on the progress while he sets out trays of cold cuts, raw vegetables, and cookies to fuel the crew.
We got now until August 9th, and we figure if the universe is 18 to 20,000, we can get to 15,000, 16,000 people.
The former conservative talk radio show host will have help on the ground, too, with state Republican Party Get Out the Vote efforts. That's because Lewis won the party's endorsement for the seat being vacated by longtime GOP Congressman John Klein in a district that stretches from St. Paul's southern suburbs to Mississippi River towns past Wabasha. Manufacturing company owner Darlene Miller, former state senator John Howe, and consultant Matthew Erickson are also on next Tuesday's ballot. But Republican Party Chairman Keith Downey says they're playing catch-up.
Jason Lewis is very popular among Republicans. The endorsement still means a lot, and those other candidates had an extremely long way to go. I thought that their primary runs were ill-advised in the first place.
Not everyone shares Downey's view, including Klein. He endorsed Miller and starred in a television ad to promote her.
Darlene Miller is the only one I trust to represent us in Congress.
Miller runs Permac Industries, a precision small parts maker in Burnsville. At 67 years old and a grandmother 5 times over, it's her first bid for public office.
You know, I'm not going there to serve for a lifetime. I'm going there to make a difference, jump in. I was a rookie when I started manufacturing, but it didn't mean that I didn't jump in full force from day one, and that's what I'll do when I get into Congress.
On this day, Miller goes table to table at a Lakeville coffee shop before heading outside to the weekly farmers market, where she introduces herself and passes out business cards.
Have you vote on August 9th?
Okay.
Are you going to vote in the primary?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely. Miller encounters Sherry Peel, who is there with her twin 3-year-old granddaughters. The conversation is mostly about Klein, who nominated Peel's son for an Air Force Academy slot years ago. After Miller moves on, Peel tells me Miller's views reflect hers, but Klein's nod is the clincher.
The fact that John Klein so carefully reflected our views and I feel like really listened to his constituents and the fact that he's endorsed her means more to me than the fact that the Republicans endorsed Jason Lewis.
Miller has gone hard at Lewis, criticizing him on foreign policy and noting that he lives outside the district's boundaries, even though that doesn't legally disqualify him. She also says provocative comments Lewis made during his quarter century on the radio are problematic.
There's just too many things that are on the record that are going to definitely come up against him in a general election and will make him lose.
Of his residency, Lewis explains that he's just across the district line after the map was redrawn following the 2010 census, and that he's more in tune with voters in the 2nd than the 4th. He says he expects his past radio comments to be blown out of proportion by opponents. But for Lewis, his days as Mr. Right on the radio cut both ways.
I feel as though I know thousands of people in the 2nd District already, and they feel as though they know me. And they've heard what I've said over the last two decades. They've got there's a bond there, a trust there that is very, very special between us, and it does help in a political race.
Lakeville Plumbing and Heating Company owner Dave Mix was an avid Lewis listener and has no doubts about where he comes down on things.
He's conservative. I don't know who his opponent is. I don't know her stance on many things. I do know Jason through the radio show. I just like his viewpoints on many issues.
As for Miller, Lewis questions whether she'd do enough to shake up Washington. It won't get any easier after next week for whoever prevails. Former medical device executive Angie Craig is running a well-funded Democratic campaign. And the Independence Party's Paula Overby also awaits the Republican primary winner. Reporting on politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
DFL State Representative Phyllis Kahn again faces a tough primary challenge for her seat in the Minnesota House. She's been in office since 1973 and is one of the state's longest-serving lawmakers. But opponents Mahmoud Noor and Ilhan Omar each say they can do a better job representing the thousands of Somali Americans and University of Minnesota students who live in the central Minneapolis district. Matt Sepik was at their debate at the university last night and has this report.
If either Ilhan Omar or Mahmoud Noor is elected, she or he would be the first Somali American in the Minnesota legislature. Omar and Noor each told a packed auditorium at the University of Minnesota they'd be a strong advocate for a community that's facing high rates of poverty and unemployment. Incumbent Phyllis Kahn said clearly she could not be a symbol of that community, but knows her district well.
I have done in my legislative career some very good things for the Somali community, including in this last tumultuous session of the $35 million for racial disparities. I specifically targeted $1 million of that to go specifically for the Somali community.
From criminal sentencing to expanding renewable energy, a $15 an hour minimum wage, and even Sunday liquor sales, there was little debate at all last night. The three DFLers largely agreed on these and other issues. They decried the recent police killings of Jamar Clark and Philando Castile and called for an overhaul of law enforcement training. Omar, a community organizer, said independent prosecutors should investigate such incidents, and she wants major changes to laws on traffic stops.
One solution is to ban police officers from pulling people over for a broken taillight, for having an object hanging out of their windows. We know that it's not productive, and that needs to completely be banned.
Omar Kahn and Noor also called for a big boost in higher education spending, saying college debt is too heavy a burden on recent graduates. The candidates all say they support Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton's proposal for tuition-free education for in-state students at public colleges and universities whose families make $125,000 or less per year. Noor, a former Minneapolis school board member, said he is still paying down high interest loans. He says he knows firsthand what many U of M students in the district are facing.
If I can go buy a car on a 0%, zero. If I can go get a buy a home for less than 3% or 4%, why should I be paying 7% for education? Isn't that not a burden to our society?
The comedy of last night's debate belies the intense competition for the Minnesota House District 60B seat. In 2014, a scuffle broke out at a DFL precinct caucus after a disagreement between supporters of Kahn and Noor boiled over. Omar, then a DFL party officer and supporter of Noor, said she suffered a concussion after being hit in the face. This year, none of the three earned enough votes in 6 hours of balloting at the district DFL nominating convention to get the party's official endorsement. In a primary election a week from today, voters will decide which of the candidates will be on the November ballot. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.